If you have your Bibles, we invite you to take them and turn with us. We have been marching together through the wonderful letter of Hebrews. And we began the series called God's Final Answer. Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. And He is God's final answer. And today, this morning, we are looking together at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you turn there, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much today for the privilege that is ours to come before you and just to pause out of our schedule. But Lord, you call us as a people of God to not forsake ourselves assembling together. And Lord, so we are here to gather in your name, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we invite your Holy Spirit, O God, to speak to us, to captivate our thoughts, to burn in our hearts that we may listen and hear your word and respond and allow your spirit, the power of your spirit, to transform us, to conform us, to change us into being more like Jesus. So, Lord, we pray today that you will speak as only you can speak, that you will work as only you can work. And, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in these moments, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. This morning, if I had a title, chapter 11, some of us calls, oh, I know what that chapter is about. It's like 1 Corinthians 13, you know? 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter. I would call it, becoming a member of God's hall of faith. Now, those of us who are sports fans, we know all about the football is so important sometimes for us, and we can get upset and about different things. And all different sports organizations have what they call a hall of fame. The NFL has a hall of fame. I believe it's in Canton, Ohio, and Wikipedia says this: to be eligible for the nominating process, a player or coach must have been retired for at least 5 years. Any other contributor, such as a team owner or executive, can be voted in at any time. Fans may nominate any player, coach, or contributor by simply writing via a letter or email to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Wow. So you have to be retired from the game for 5 years before you can enter in. It's a little bit different, I think, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11. Charles Stanley said this: chapter 11 of Hebrews is populated with men and women who endured despite adverse circumstances. You may say, well, sure they endured. I mean, look how their story turned out. Well, they didn't know how their story was going to turn out, and you don't know how yours is going to end either. So how did they demonstrate such strong faith in God? They did so because they understood God knew how everything was going to turn out. It made perfect sense to them to entrust their futures to a sovereign Lord. You aren't running alone. You don't have to clench your fists in order to endure. Just recognize that your sovereign Lord is with you in every situation and call upon Him to infuse you with His power. You are never a victim of your circumstances, for your sovereign God has determined to use everything that happens to you for your blessing and His glory. Max Lucado, whom I like to quote at times, says this about this verse. He says, Hebrews 11:1 is really, faith is trusting what the eye can't see. Eyes see the prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms. Faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes see giants. Faith sees Canaan. Your eyes see your faults. Your faith sees your Savior. Your eyes see your guilt. Your faith sees His blood. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker. But by faith, you look in the mirror and see a robed prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of your Father on your face. Wow. Charles Stanley tries to answer that question, what is faith? What is faith? Art Linkletter's favorite translation, the Living Bible, as I recall as a child, he used to say, the Living Bible. This is what Hebrews 11:1 says. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. The Message, Eugene Peterson says this, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. What is faith? Scripture this morning in Hebrews 11, let's look at that together. And the English Standard Version says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. What is faith? We think about that sometimes. What is faith? Well, you know, Pastor, faith is, you know, you just got to believe. And if you believe enough, it will happen. If you believe in belief, it will happen. So you got to work yourself up to believe, to believe, to believe, to believe, to believe. Well, what's up, folks? You know, like almost Elmer Fudd. Is that faith? Well, for me, as I look at Scripture and as I look at the writer of Hebrews here, I believe faith mentioned here is faith or belief or trust in Christ's ability to fulfill what he has promised to do. I, as his follower, have this conviction, this confidence, this certainty that he will do what he says and he will bring it to pass. My faith, my belief, my trust is in Jesus Christ alone, my great high priest, God's only son, my Savior and my Lord. Like the story of the Roman soldier who recognized Christ, the Messiah's authority. We remember that story. He came to Jesus and he was concerned about his servant who was ill and sick, and he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, you just say the word. You just say the word and it will be done. In Matthew 8, 5 through 13, you just say the word. And so Jesus does so. He says the word, and the Roman soldier's servant was healed. And Jesus remarks about this Roman soldier that he had not seen such faith in all of Israel. Faith in Christ's authority, faith in Christ's ability, faith in Christ alone to do what only Christ can do. Faith. The writer of Hebrews is reminding his Jewish audience They are weary. They are worn out. They are under persecution. They are facing battles from within, doubts from within. Do we go back to the Old Testament law? Do we follow the practices of Moses? Is it Jesus Christ plus something? Oh, well, maybe Jesus really isn't the Messiah after all. So we have to go back. We're being persecuted. Why should we be persecuted when we can have an easier life and there's doubts and there's persecution and there's suffering? And he reminds them, listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is our great high priest. He's greater than Aaron, greater than Moses, greater than the angels. He is God's Son, Savior, our great high priest, and you can trust in him by faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For the writer of Hebrews, that's his definition. Charles Stanley says, faith is not wishful thinking or believing what you know is true, to paraphrase Mark Twain. Instead, it is the conviction that God will always do what he promises to do regardless of the circumstances. So when Jesus says that he is coming again, do you have faith to believe that, to trust that word? He is coming again. He is coming again. Amen. And whether we are alive at his coming, or we've gone asleep, as Scripture says, passed on in the grave, guess what? He's coming again. And you can count on it. It is true. We need to have faith to believe in what Jesus has said he would do and what he has accomplished. Faith, what is faith's definition? It says the assurance of things hoped for. It is, as one commentator says, it is that trust in God that enables believers to press on steadfastly whatever the future holds for them. They know that they can rely on God. So the writer's method is to select some of the great people in the history of God's people and to show briefly how faith motivated all of them, led them forward, no matter how difficult the circumstances. The result is a great passage that not only encourages his readers as he's reading this, but also encouraged hosts of Christians throughout the ages. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The Greek word here is pistis, which means belief, trust, confidence, and in some contexts it means faithfulness. At the end of chapter 10, we see that verse 39, but we are not of those, the writer says, who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith. We have that belief, we have that trust, we have that confidence, and so we are there being faithful because we have that trust in the Lord, and he will preserve us, our soul. There is a slang, you may have heard this popular phrase, and there is a website that is entitled Dictionary of Christianese. You know, sometimes in the faith we have our own Christian language, ease. And there was a movement in the church growth movement for many years, you know, in order to attract, as I like to call them, pre-believers, not unbelievers, but pre-believers, we have to be careful of language. You know, we don't want to talk so theological that we're over somebody's head, you know, and we could do that. Very easy, right? So there is this dictionary that has defined this phrase, and maybe you've heard this phrase, maybe you've said this phrase, and it's this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Have you heard that? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The writer of this website, his name is Tim, he says, that phrase, for example, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. At first glance, this expression seems to be about one thing and only one thing, closed-mindedness, but there's a lot more going on here. The people who use this slogan use it to express their complete confidence in the authority of God's word, the Bible. It's hard to criticize someone for firmly believing that the Bible contains God's instructions to the human race. In the 1960s and 70s, several different gospel singers recorded a popular song that contained the lyrics, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me." Del Decker recorded a version and remained special to many people. Another group was the Heritage Singers, and you can listen to that online. As you track that statement, he goes on that website and goes all the way back to the 1950s, that even in some judicial courtrooms back then, they even quoted that phrase, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." That confident assurance that what God has said will come to pass. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. But we also find here in verses 3 and 4, there's some discernment, faith discernment. Verse 3, he says, "By faith we understand." We understand. What do we understand by faith in verse 3? By faith we understand that the universe was created by what? The word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's quite a verse. By faith, we receive discernment and understanding from the Spirit of God to comprehend His holy word. And part of that is to understand that the universe, this world in which we live, was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was created by God's word spoken. It became out of nothing something, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith is a present reality, not exclusively the property of past heroes. Faith gives us convictions about creation. Belief in the existence of the world is not faith, nor is faith when people hold that the world was made out of some pre-existing stuff. But when we understand that it was the Word of God that produced all things, that is faith. The emphasis on God's Word agrees with Genesis 1, "And God said." The point is emphasized with the explicit statement that the visible did not originate from the visible. For the author, the visible universe is not sufficient to account for itself, but it is faith, not something material, that assures him that it originated with God. The world is God's world, and faith assures him that God originated it, says one commentator. In other words, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, wait a minute, I thought it was Big Bang Theory. God spoke and the world came into being. Faith gives us that understanding, that discernment. And then the writer goes into this, there's a whole list when you follow by faith, by faith, by faith. Verse 4 gives that example. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Isn't it interesting that the writer in Hebrews didn't say, "And by faith, Adam," or "by faith, Eve"? Now, it doesn't discount that they returned to God. They taught what God wanted. They were excluded from the Garden of Eden because of sin entered through one man, Adam, and salvation enters in through Christ. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. What does that mean? That Abel's heart was in a right relationship with God. And so when he brought his sacrifice, when he brought his worship to the Lord, God commended him. It was pleasing to him. Cain, on the other hand, had some issues in his heart. There was some hardness in his heart. There was some hatred in his heart. And when he saw that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, and his was not accepted and received because his heart was not right with God, he became jealous and angry and killed his brother Abel. Out of that act, as Cain was going to worship with a hard heart, with a hate-filled heart, as he was going through that, and he murdered his brother. God didn't accept his gift. In fact, Cain complained about it. He was unwilling to repent, unwilling to turn away from his sin. What would he have done? What would God have done if Cain said, "I am truly sorry for what I did"? Would God have forgiven him? I believe he would have. Abel was walking with God. He had faith in his relationship, and his heart was right. Gives us a sober warning that when we come to worship our Lord and Savior, especially around the Lord's table, our hearts better be right. Better be right before him. God received Abel's sacrifice and commended it to him. And through his faith, it says, though he died, he still speaks. His life still testifies of God's grace and goodness. Verse 5 talks about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up. He walked in fellowship with God. His eyes were focused upon God. He walked by faith with God, so much so that the word says here in verse 5 that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, again, he was commended as having pleased God. So, in order to please God, I must have faith. And that brings me to the deficit of faith. Deficit? There's a deficit? Yeah, there is. It says, verse 6, and without faith. Without faith. If I don't have faith, what's going to happen? Well, if I don't have faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. In other words, without faith, you cannot please God. In fact, I would even say you cannot even know God without faith. Without faith, for who would ever draw near to God, you can't draw near to God. Without faith, you can't believe God exists because you must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So without faith, you will not be able to seek him and you will not be rewarded by God. Without faith. Oh, wow, it really speaks about the importance of faith. If I don't have faith, I will not understand who created the world through the spoken word. I will not understand the deep truths of God. I will not understand even coming to God or worshiping God or honoring him. There's no way that I can please him without faith. Then he gives another example in verse 7. By faith, who? Noah. Being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, there was a recent movie that tried to portray Noah, but it wasn't really biblical. They stretched the truth. They added things. Faith. Noah believed in God and walked with God and focused his eyes on following God. And he received a warning by God. So in other words, without faith, I can't please God. But also without faith, I will not hear the warning. I will not hear God's warnings. I'll just ignore it and push it aside and not think that it's really that important. Or that crucial? Without faith, you can't hear God's warning. And so Noah heard it. What did he do? He built an ark for the saving of his household. So without faith, you cannot do what God wants you to do. You can't do it. You can try to do it in your own strength. And there are many around who use the gospel of Jesus Christ for their own selfish reasons, but in the end, it will burn because it is not from the Lord. You're not relying upon the Holy Spirit to empower you, to equip you, to enable you, to build up, to encourage, to edify the body, and to tell others about God's saving grace, salvation, by having faith in His Son. There's no way that you can do God's work without faith. Noah did that. He built that ark, and I'm sure he got ridiculed. He got persecuted. He got made fun of. People thought he was, did I say that word? Crazy? But he did it because he had faith. By this, by his actions, trusting in God, he condemned the world. Without faith, man, without faith, you can't be God's witnesses. There's just no way you can be God's witnesses. How could Peter, in one moment, deny the Lord? Then Christ appears to him and restores him and is filled now with the Holy Spirit and then testifies in front of the whole city of Jerusalem about the goodness of Jesus Christ, and half the city comes to know him. It's because of faith in Christ, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, relying on the Spirit by faith. Noah condemned the world through his actions. And then he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Without faith, you can't receive God's righteousness. So, what does that really mean then for me? We see here obedience is to God is the results of having faith in God. But then that question, how do I become a member of God's Hall of Faith? I remember that singing group For Him. Years ago, they were a men's quartet. They sang songs together. And two of the singers wrote a song, I Want to Be a Man That God Would Write About. I want to be a man that God would write about. You know, to find my name written in Scripture. But there's even a greater book, and praise the Lord for His holy word, but there's the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be a man whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you want to be a man or a woman whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you become that member? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 states how. It says there, in verse 8 we'll go, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because of you, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is God's work in the heart of those who seek him in faith that God does this transformation working, this regeneration. In other words, he comes in by his Holy Spirit. The old is gone, the new has come. He dethrones that old sinful nature, and Christ, if we allow him to be Lord of our life, is on the throne of our heart, and he begins that work of grace that process, as theologians call it, of sanctification. In other words, we're learning as a child of God to walk after righteousness, to walk in holiness, to walk as Jesus walked. The old is gone, the new has come. We do it by faith. How do you become a member of God's hall of faith? By trusting, believing in Jesus Christ for your salvation. It begins there. And then you get to develop that. And who knows? Who knows the witness that you will give or the witness that you have given? But there's more to be done. There's more to share. Because Jesus wants his children to be the light of the world. So, are you a member of God's hall of faith? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed with your mouth that he is Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Have you claimed the promise then that you are saved? That you've turned away from sinfulness and turned toward righteousness? Have you received his Son in your life? And are you determined to then to walk by faith, even if God may ask you to build an ark? Will you step out in obedience to please him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our heart this morning. When we read chapter 11 of Hebrews, some of us may say, wow, amazing. People of God who demonstrated faith in God. And Lord, how you commended them, applauded them, awarded them for their righteous behavior, their obedient behavior. And even those who were looking forward to the promise of the Messiah, who waited and yet did not see with their eyes Jesus, yet walked by faith, trusting in you. Knowing that you would bring it to pass, having that confident assurance that you would bring it to pass. We thank you. And then those who had experienced Christ, saw him, followed him, walked along with him, and responded in faith, obedience. And then after Christ ascended on high and promises to return in like manner, and yet they were filled with your Holy Spirit and proclaimed the good news, and the church was birthed and born, and Lord, you began to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven by faith. And we look forward to continuing to build the kingdom of God. Help us to be those individuals, Lord, that even in one sense you would want to write about. Because we simply trust in you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you or is listening by the internet, doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation, that they will ask you to come into their heart and into their life by faith. If there is a child of God who is, Lord, struggling in the battle that we've sung about and who is wrestling in the night, oh God, I pray that you will allow the promises of your holy word to speak to their heart and cause them to return to you, to rely on you, to be strengthened by you, and then to shine for you by faith. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So, Lord, I pray that you will continue your good work through your people and that you will build your church. And we thank you for the promise, hallelujah, that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, because your church is a glorious church, a victorious church. And help us to be an obedient church, that we live, that we walk by faith. This we ask in Jesus' name.